Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, special late night toy dark toy department after dark. Here, it's gonna get loose. That's what I'm saying, people.
You're gonna start. I could feel just then your laughter on the verge of tears. Like the laughter that you had when you screwed up the very beginning of the podcast was like the laughter of a man whose tears are not far away.
I'm just a man who, like, kicked in the groin today, I feel like.
Yeah, you got baseball kicked in the groin. That's what happened.
And I would say as often happens as someone who, you know, roots for the Atlanta Braves, not just, like, kicked in the groin, but in, you know, spectacular record-setting fashion.
You think that's worse than, like, a walk-off homer for the that doesn't apply in this case, but
well, we lost game four in a walk-off. I mean, not a home run, but whatever, a walk-off. I have some sense of comparison, and obviously the Braves have lost they've lost 10 playoff series in a row, so you know, that's happened in almost every imaginable fashion, including an infield fly that landed in left field. And,
yeah,
home runs and strikeouts and errors. And, you know, all Giants fans remember Brooks Conrad.
Yeah.
I don't think people, like, really understand. I mean, you root for the Cubs, right? So no,
the White Sox.
Or the White Sox, my bad. You're from Chicago is what I meant to say. You know, everyone likes to talk about Cubs fan misery, or at least they did. The Cubs are the other team that has lost 10 straight playoff series, and they did that between the years 1908 and 98, I want to say. They broke the streak by beating the Braves in the playoff series. The Braves have done all of these 10 series losses in the span of 18 years. So
yeah,
it's rough. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot about baseball. But I had really been sucked in by this team. They were super fun to watch and really good. And it was the first time in a long time that I went into a postseason thinking, like, what, we're not just lucky to be here, we're happy to be here. This is actually good, that team that's good enough to really contend for a World Series. And, you know, here we are again. And I just feel dumb for caring. You know? Like, why do I care about this stuff? Like, why? I shouldn't let this affect my mood. I'm an adult, but, it makes me sad that I got sucked in. And today I'm wise enough to realize that the Braves have a really talented young core that's locked up for a long time and that they'll be back.
Yeah.
But it only just feels like that's more opportunities for them to disappoint me again in spectacular fashion. So, I feel dumb. And then on top of that, Trump's in town tomorrow.
Oh,
It's not fun when the president's in town, when the president's like a good president. Just the president being in town is a giant pain in terms of traffic and management. But, you know, when that president is Trump and he's having a rally and it's in your neighborhood, you know, it's all not great. And then it's going to snow this weekend. So
I'm sorry, what's that?
And then it's going to snow this weekend.
It's going to what now?
Snow.
What is it? It's not even Halloween.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
It's messed up, Minnesota.
Yeah, man. So it's going to be a spectacularly joyous podcast for my end. I hated everything. I hated everything. I'm just telling you now. I hated everything, and I don't watch anyone want to watch anything next week.
Well, let's soldier on anyway.
All right. I lied when I said I hated everything. Because I you know, Big Mouth's still great, right?
Yeah, I don't feel like you hated everything else either.
I didn't really.
You want to start with Big Mouth?
Actually, that's not true. Yeah, let's start with Big Mouth, because that is unambivalently great, right? Like, we're all on board.
Yes.
I don't have a ton to say about it, because I think it's still largely the same show that it has been, but that is a blessing. I'm happy to have more of it, you know, not to say they're making the same episode.
If there is something different, it's that the focus seems to be more on interpersonal relationships now and less on, you know, grappling with your own identity. Although there's still plenty of that. I don't know.
Yeah. They're taking on a variety of a greater variety of social issues, right? And
yes,
you know, exploring some different kinds of sexuality this year. I also think that they're just doing some more broadening out and world building, which I think something, you know, Nick Kroll stuff tends to be good at over time. Yeah, so you know, I'm excited about that part of it as well. You know. It's weird. This is obviously a super duper different show, but Succession's been, you know, just amazing this season, of course. And, you know, I think it's really working at such a high level. And one of the reasons why it's so successful now is because all of the shade that's being thrown is so much more powerful when you understand when these characters have been developed. And, you know, we have enough episodes under our belt that there's a lot of hidden weight to those scenes now. And I think Big Mouth is actually getting some of that, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. We know more about... I mean, the Andrew storyline with him being like a trash bag doesn't work if you don't know he's like a sweet boy struggling with all sorts of stuff.
Right. That's 100% true.
There's some stuff like that where it depends on, which is funny for a, you know, raunchy cartoon. It depends on really delicately developed characters. And it's just really well done still. And you're right. It's not so different, but it's the same greatness.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'd probably be complaining if it was so different, you know?
Right. Right. It's as different as you'd want it to be. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, look, it's a show that knows what it is still trying new things, and I think is going about it in a very thoughtful way.
When you start with the palette of puberty and like add in 2019 as a concept, like you could go for seasons upon seasons.
Yeah, well, and I saw today on Ringer social media that it sounds like they may be working on a spinoff.
Really.
Yeah, with that would take place kind of in the offices where the hormone monsters are, and kind of centered around the hormone monsters and the shame monsters and the depression kitties and sort of that world of things. Yeah, which I think would be really great. And if you've never seen the show and you're hearing us talk about these things,
you got to get into
probably
it.
Like, what the hell?
you're in the wrong here, though. That's important for you to know.
Yes, yes, yes. You were missing out. Unless you're my mom is listening to this, because I don't think she'll like it.
Yeah, it's probably true for my mom as well.
All right, switching gears. I hate is probably not an accurate word for how I feel about some of the other stuff that we're going to talk about. But I'm going to bring up Maradona now, because I was genuinely excited about this. I've heard nothing but great things. In fact, I still have heard, and no one's saying anything but great things. And yet I found this to be not all that interesting, kind of a tough watch at times. And I just, yeah, was not nearly the enjoyable experience that I would have hoped it was. It just felt, it all felt a lot really dry, for, especially for considering that, you know, its subject was so insane and charismatic, you know?
I agree with you. There was like an odd... I mean, okay, so first of all, I feel like the entire conceit was just like a narrowing of focus that was odd and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like
the guy's lived a lot of crazy life after the period of this movie as well.
Right. And I feel like I didn't need to know that much about the Napoli stuff.
Yeah.
And frankly, I like crazy coincidence that they ended up playing a World Cup game in Napoli. Truly. And probably a bad mistake by the Italian Soccer Federation, but at the same time, that's more like a quirk in the longer story of Maradona than it is the entire hook for a film to turn on, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So there was that, and also I think there was so much, you know, old historical footage, newsreels, and a few new interviews, but like, I didn't get enough of a sense of where Maradona's at today, or really about his life in general. Like, it oddly glossed over certain things, you know, like when they sort of say at the end that, oh, like he and his son are friends now. It's like, what? The son you like mentioned twice in this film?
I thought the same thing. Alright.
Like, why even put that at the end if you didn't care about it in the film?
Yeah. It some of that is strange, and you know, look, obviously they weren't gonna, 'cause there's a lot of his life they just decided they weren't gonna cover, you know. Like, there's no mention of him managing Argentina, which was like fairly recently, and like,
and it's not even
a lot
called
of other stuff,
like,
and
it's not called Maradona in Napoli, or like Maradona's Italian years, or you know, it's like, it's just called Diego Maradona. Like, somehow that episode is supposed to tell the whole true story. Like, that does not add up for me.
Yeah. It sort of feels like they're like, look, we have collected some really great footage, which I'm sure was a long and arduous and difficult process, and I think is accurate. Like, you know, you see some things both on and off the pitch that are like, that, you know, make you go, whoa, you know?
Yes.
Feats of athleticism, feats of insanity, all sorts of stuff. But
they're,
like,
they're not like moored to anything.
Yeah, what's this? What is this? What was this movie trying to say? I'm not even sure I can really tell you.
No.
You know, it was mostly like, here is some stuff that happened.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I don't know that I was as annoyed as you, because you know, for the duration of it, I was more or less entertained by the madness of Maradona, but it didn't really tell a specific story, or rather, it told such a specific set of events that like it lost the story somehow.
Yeah, like maybe almost like a forest from the trees thing.
Yeah, that was kind of bouncing in my skull when I said the word soup that actually came out of my mouth. I enjoyed the footage, but I it almost felt like watching a YouTube compilation that someone was like, check out all this footage from Diego Maradona's days in Italy.
Yeah. They, like, sort of together to make some narrative sense, but like, yeah.
Right. Narrative sense in as much as his life made narrative sense, but not right. In like a storytelling way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was almost like the, oh my God! What's the Christopher Nolan movie about World War II?
Yes, yeah. see, it's bad, so neither of us can remember what it's called. It was like
Dunkirk. Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was gonna make an Inception joke, but it is called Dunkirk.
the Dunkirk of documentaries.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch us get older in real time on this pod.
Yeah, true story.
What was the name of the thing with the guy? All right, speaking of Forest of the Trees, do you mind if we switch gears to Between Two Ferns?
Yeah, I'm now that you've like couched everything so negatively, I'm a little concerned because
that was, yeah, I mean that was mostly just a tree pun, frankly. But I do. I'll tell you sort of the process I went through as I was watching this.
Uh huh.
Like, oh yeah, they got some good people. Oh God, is it just gonna be him doing these interviews for 2 hours? Oh, cool. No, there's an actual movie here. Oh, with some people I like. Oh, this movie's not very good. that's where I landed. In the end, I like just didn't find it that funny or successful. But it sounds like you felt differently.
It depends on you finding Between Two Ferns funny. Truly. I actually thought these were some of the, like, if you just viewed the interviews as episodes of Between Two Ferns, I think these were pretty funny ones. I mean, I did giggle aloud throughout most of the actual Between Two Ferns footage.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I thought that, like, some of them worked, some of them, I don't know. Like, once you get what's happening, I don't know. The gimmick wears on me quickly.
I guess they're like roast jokes in a way, but they're just, his delivery is so funny. I don't know. I really enjoy it. So, but you do have to enjoy it because, you know, if the movie's an hour and 20 minutes, 45 of it is Between Two Ferns episodes.
Right. But like, what is, you know, like, did you think the like Chrissy Teigen, John Legend bit, like I can tell from just your laughing just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Did you not see it coming from like a mile away?
I mean, I wasn't like shocked and surprised dramatically, but I don't know. Did I see it coming from a mile away? I don't know. I don't know if I did or not. I didn't not see it coming, but I didn't like extraordinarily expect it, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
it's just a funny concept.
It's so broad
to me.
And obvious.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty broad and not unobvious. But I really find Zach Galifianakis incredibly funny. And I did, you know, it's the same sense of humor as Between Two Ferns, but I did enjoy some of the interstitial stuff too. The Will Ferrell stuff I thought was really funny.
Yeah. The Nationals have just hit a grand slam.
Oh, dude.
In the 10th inning.
You are 4 seconds ahead of me.
Oh, I did not see that coming. Sorry.
Well, I saw that grand slam coming from 4 seconds away.
Okay. Was it broad and obvious?
It was broad and rather obvious.
Oh.
And that it looks like it'll be Nationals
looks
Cardinals,
like
huh? Oh, look at the sad Dodger fans.
Yeah. This makes everything 1,000 times worse for me as a Braves fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's your division rival?
Yes, they're a rival, and we're better than them, and they're probably going to go to the World Series now, and we're not. We're also better than the stupid Cardinals, who not only beat us, were jerks about it the whole time.
I agree that the stupid Cardinals are stupid.
Sports sucks. All right, let's roll on.
Oh man, that thing was meat.
Yeah. Gonna stay with Joe Kelly for a while.
Woof.
thanks for listening. It's React to Things Live. This is, we don't usually get this opportunity because usually I'm in a studio with all senses blocked out. So I don't know how much more I would have to say about it. I'm glad there was a narrative. I just didn't totally dig the narrative. I'm not saying the movie didn't have its moments or, you know, make me chuckle from time to time, but I've seen a lot of other Zach Galifianakis things that made me laugh a lot harder.
He asked John Hamm if Bradley Cooper doing A Star Is Born made him feel like there'd be more opportunity for hot idiots.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. There's some good ones in there. I get it.
I also have a great affinity for Lauren Lapkus as a fellow Evanston High School alumnus.
Yeah, I figured you might. And look, I also have to say, like, you know, I don't know if it's Zach or if he has someone who helps him get people to do this, but like the amount and quality of the people that they get that they have gotten is pretty insane.
Truly insane. And do you what was I going to say? Oh yes, did you notice his? What they had done to his beard at various times?
No.
See, like, this is the weird stuff I get a kick out of. But, like, they just, like, shaved and didn't shave random parts of his beard, like, different lengths for different scenes. So, like, one scene there'd just be a few long hairs on one side. And then, like, some scenes the other side. Like, he just looks ridiculous.
Yes, well, I certainly noticed he looks had looked ridiculous, but I guess I had missed that particular detail of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just he makes me laugh. That particular,
yeah.
I'm not really usually a big, like, nothing but awkwardness here laugh guy, but for whatever reason, this really works for me.
All right, yeah, it's not quite my jam. Even though I like Zach Galifianakis, and I get what you mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there are times when I feel like I'm really on his wavelength, but this was not one of those for me.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, so The Politician, another one that I definitely wouldn't say that I actually hated. But what I will say is I was unaware that it was a Ryan Murphy show, and boy, was it a Ryan Murphy show.
Isn't, like... That's, I'm not struggling with how to put this, but, like, that's what a Ryan Murphy show is.
Yeah.
In other words, like, the characteristic that makes a show notably a Ryan Murphy show is that it's, like, oozing with the specific Ryan Murphy-ness.
Yeah, it's oozing with Ryan Murphy-ness, and it's just stuffed to the gills. You know,
and I gotta say, I'm just not here for this. I'm just not.
Interesting. Because I kind of thought you might be more into it than me, and I think it may be the other way around.
Yeah, man. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow is really good, actually, I think. The kid seems talented, has a remarkable singing voice. And I'm just... And the themes are salient and relevant. And I think, obviously, everything looks beautiful and is immaculately crafted. Like, he is as technical about the look of his stuff as Wes Anderson. It's not as...
Yeah.
He's not as peculiar and like, peccadillo-filled.
Whimsical. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very... I mean, the artistry of the colors and the... lighting and the way things are shot is spectacular.
Yeah, and like the wardrobe and interior design budget on the show,
all of it,
is insane.
All of it. It's all cranked up to a million, and I don't want to watch another show about like teenage suicide. I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't found that. I mean, I don't know how many episodes you watched.
I only watched one because when it ended and there was a little bit of the, like, you know, 24 style hook, like, you'll never believe, dun 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 dun, I was just like, I can't watch this thing where they dance around these very, like, here's the issue to me. It's not that you can't be funny and also address serious stuff. But, like, I need to be able to understand how seriously to take all of the things that you're saying. I need some consistency in that respect. Because when you treat teenage suicide with the same, like, oddly sarcastic, campy wit that you treat, you know, a high school prank, like, I just start to lose the thread.
Yeah, well, and the reason I asked, you know, is because the subsequent episodes, it doesn't really come up. Which is not to say that they won't return to the teenage suicide. But, you know, they kind of jump back in time. And so that stuff's kind of out of the picture, at least for a while.
Well, but even that,
it is over top. All of the zaniness and the, you know, the camp and the arch comic moments and all of, like, that tone is still there, you know, on other subjects. And the thing is like, I think that, you know, in the first episode is heavy with it, you know, the political angle of, like, trying to win a school election at this crazy high school.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff's good, but it's, you know, like, we've already seen election, you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of that right. stuff's been done really well before, you know? So even some of that stuff doesn't necessarily sparkle the way it should. But you haven't got, you know, if you missed the next couple of episodes, you know, you get a little bit of the stunt casting. I'm not sure how much Jessica Lange was in episode one.
A decent amount.
Yeah. Because she's really turned up to 11 in all of this.
And
You know, there's a lot of plot sort of echoing the act, I feel like, a little bit.
Right.
Which is also weird and maybe probably done better there. You know, I just, it's, I don't know. Ryan Murphy shows have had varying levels of success with me. You know, I think American Crime Story is as fine a television as you'll find. You know what I mean? Like, it's up there with the greats. I'm not an American Horror Story person, but I get why people might be devoted to that. And then, you know, then there's things like Glee and, you know, or Nip Tuck, you know, right. which are watchable, but don't work out. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was hopeful because, you know, maybe one of my favorite Ryan Murphy shows was a show that no one watched called Popular.
Yeah.
That aired for a couple seasons on CW. And I thought, you know, maybe the school setting.
It's nothing,
you know,
like
would
Popular.
Give him a chance to sort. Yeah. And it's really nothing like that at all. So, that said, I may not be done watching it. We'll see if it gets better. I'll let you know, but okay. it's not great. And there's a lot of other stuff on right now.
There's so much stuff.
Speaking of other stuff, on Netflix, I think it's finally time to have a discussion of The Spy.
Finally.
How many episodes of The Spy have you watched?
Pretty much 3.
Okay, so we're right about the same place then. Are you enthralled?
You know what? I'm just short of enthralled, and you know why? I'm finding it incredibly difficult to follow the actual political intrigue.
Yeah. It moves a little slow.
And I'm not so bothered by that, but I don't totally I have very little context for what he's doing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it moves a little slow. The politics are a little bit complicated, and there are a lot of subtitles. So it really requires your close focus and attention at all times. And I think those three things are what sort of combine to make it feel a little difficult.
Yes.
That said, when it grabs you, I feel like it really grabs you. And there are a lot of like really interesting and intense moments. I thought episode two in particular, where he's kind of like sneaking through that house, when the security guy makes him at the drop, or some of the conversations he's having with his like handlers, or which were I think were sort of reminiscent of some of those great scenes in The Americans, where the spies are sort of rebelling and dealing with that and coming to terms with their lives. Like, that stuff I think is really interesting. I think it's a really interesting, completely uncomedic performance from Sacha Baron Cohen, who's done some work in drama roles before, but I think is really good.
Well, and it's not just non-comedic, it's subtle.
Yeah.
It's very small and he's such a big performer usually.
Right. Yes. It's not broad at all. It's very controlled.
Yeah, I find that maybe as enthralling as anything. Just like he's doing such a different thing, and I find him very convincing. And I am oddly sucked into it, given that, like, I could not tell you, if they didn't literally put the date up every so often, I could not tell you where we're at in time or what conflict is being spied upon or what is happening at all.
I know, I can tell you, like, what country he's in.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Stuff like that.
What country he's in and the country he's trying to get to and his basic... I could tell you the basic premise of the character that he is playing as a spy, right?
Yeah.
But I don't have much context for it.
Of, like, why he's doing it and, like, what information he's trying to retrieve and how that information is going to help Israel, right?
Exactly. Like, that's that stuff.
That's the stuff I never really... Yeah. I'm with you on that. It makes me feel good. I'm glad it's not just me.
Yes. Yeah. But I would say, given that, it's even perhaps more impressive how sort of alluring it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I do think the grind of watching one of the, these are full hour episodes that you really got to be locked in for. You know what I mean? I do sort of wonder on a practical level, is that going to, crowd things out when there's a busy sports season, right? We're about to have all the teams in action and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
there's not a million
things to watch. Yeah. And you can't.
Have you watched back to back episodes yet?
Here's what I would say. I would say that I have attempted to do this a couple of times and am usually – I'm not successful in getting through two. You know what I mean? I'm about one and a half is my limit. You know what I mean?
Totally. That's where I'm at as well. And when I come back to pick up the half, I got to go back 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not – it's weird, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, it sounds like a criticism of the show, and I really don't mean it that way necessarily. It's just dense. It's just sort of a dense
It is. Series, it's dense. It's almost like, and I'm not comparing it in quality or content, but it's almost like those early episodes of The Wire where, like, if you miss a little, miss a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, speaking of which, I was out of town you know, this weekend, and it's like I missed a, you know, a Sunday at TV, and I'm like, I'm still digging out of that hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yep. like the deuce is just sitting here, like being like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Yeah, I got a couple deuces now, and that sounded weird, but I got a couple episodes of that to watch, and I think I got a couple episodes of On Becoming a God in Central Florida as well, but I'm quite enjoying both of them.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And that's what I mean, is it's like there's just a lot of stuff out there that is, you know, still really great. You know what I mean? So so it's hard when it's like, you know, yeah, you got to make the appointment with something like The Spy like 10 different times, right? To yep. to power through the whole thing, you know. That's totally. That's a tall ask.
It is.
Yeah, this is how I'm gonna end up just watching cartoons, right? Just gonna move from Big Mouth to BoJack.
Hey man, then, Big Mouth does exactly roll off the Netflix app at you, no problem. You know, like crushing three episodes of that was a lot easier than one episode of The Spy.
Yes, yes, 100% goes down pretty easy. Yes, which I guess is the same for because we did mention this on the homework that we're going to check out. It's Always Sunny.
In many ways, it's the live action version of what we said about Big Mouth, right? Like, only it's more impressive to be a live action show in your 14th season without a massive change of premise. That just really, like, they're not all dingers, but they put every ball in play, man. They just, that show just gets hits. The on base percentage is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a high PER sort of situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And like that, you know, honestly, that's another one in a totally different way where like the years of character development pay great dividends.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, that's, like, if you had said that year one, that would be the case, you know what I mean? You'd be like, what are you talking about?
Just wait till they really develop these characters, and you'll really be laughing your ass off. You'd be like, shut up. 14 years from now, I won't remember this.
Yeah, I think it would also be fun to show people pictures of the various Macs at that point.
You know, so true. Oh my god.
One season's gonna look like this, another season's gonna look like this.
And then he's gonna dance.
yeah, but respect to that show, because you're right, that is a it's quite a feat.
I mean, it really is a remarkable accomplishment, and they've all done some other things to varying levels of success, but the fact that this has continued to crank out, you know, between 10 and 15 episodes a year of just laugh your ass off hilarity, that's really hard to do.
Yep. And they are, you know, they're talking about, like, they want to do it again.
Why not?
Yeah, so I'm totally down for that. Do you, we didn't talk about this in the pre-show meeting at all, and it's a crazy weighty topic that I'm sure you probably had to delve into in your work life.
China.
Do we want to talk about China, the NBA and China at all, and what's happening? Or is non-toy department the only angle of that?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because like it is all not in the toy department, but it is all also in the toy. Like, there is nothing. The consequences of this are dire only in a sports sense.
Yeah, well, or in an economic sense for a very small number of people, right?
For a sports league.
Yeah.
It's the economics of sports. Like, it's not going to affect the U.S. economy. It's not, this is not a trade war that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, we got problems in this country. This is really not one of them.
Yeah.
So it is.
Except when it devolves, except when you sort of, when it sort of morphs into this speech issue thing, right? And
well,
the ability
kind of, but
for.
But no one's threatening free speech.
Well, I mean, if you live in Hong Kong, you're free to be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, your freezeman is a state. It's already gone.
Let me
right?
be clear.
You know what I mean?
Let me be clear. The stuff that's being talked about is hugely real world stuff. I'm just saying the NBA part of this controversy, the Hong Kong protests are there's a human rights travesty happening, and I don't mean to trivialize that. But
free speech is maybe that was an inartful term. I guess what I mean is that when you get into the issues of China being able to control speech, even in places outside of China, be it through economic leverage or whatever.
But see, that they're already doing
that. That's a bigger issue, I feel like. Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that this is, you know, this is far from the only example. You know what I mean?
I actually think, like, this is an example of them failing. Because in any other business, Daryl Morey would have been fired last Friday.
Yeah, that's true. In most businesses, they would have.
So, you know. I actually think...
It's only in businesses where that are this front-facing. You know what
right.
I mean?
Only where the actual firing of Daryl Morey would arguably be as big a PR problem as not. Right?
Right.
But I also just... I think it's delicate in this sense. I don't think it's unreasonable for a business to want to avoid certain political issues in an effort to succeed as a business. And you know, this one's sticky because China's such a big part of the NBA's business model, but also, like, every single American does business with China for the most part. I mean, with very few exceptions. Whether you're just buying stuff that was made in China or you're actually buying stuff directly from China.
That's yeah, like, I mean, like, we've talked about the it's hard to sometimes, you know.
Well, right, but I
go
but
down
I think
the rabbit hole of what happens to your money after.
But China
spend it, you
in
know
particular
what I mean?
Is tricky with that because people only really bring up the under normal circumstances, people only bring up the human rights travesties that they commit when it suits their particular purpose. And I think what's changed now is that Hong Kong hasn't always been China and still isn't entirely China in many ways. And so China is trying to enforce the sort of draconian leadership on a sort of non-pre-grandfathered in territory. They've been doing this to their own people throughout the most populous country on Earth for forever. And like, all the people screaming about the NBA issue did not stop buying things that say made in China on it. So, while I understand some of the outrage, because the Hong Kong stuff is terrible, I also, like, this just, it's a tough one to pin on a sports league, if you ask me. And you know, when I see, like, people crushing Steve Kerr for not having an opinion. Oh, you're more than willing to criticize the president, but you say you don't have enough information to talk shit about China. Well, yeah. Just like he didn't want to weigh in on this one. And to think that, like, there's some nefarious, like, ulterior motives by everyone who doesn't have a strong opinion on this, like, I don't know. And I'm just not sure that business interests are as ulterior a motive as some people want to suggest.
I'm not sure I'm all the way with you on that. Look, I do think that businesses have a right to not want to avoid losing money. But what I do think is so fascinating about this story is that it's one of those times – And there aren't all of that many of these like clear and direct examples in the world, but it's one of those times where making money just runs up directly against your core values as a people. And I think, like, I think we can all agree that, you know, freedom of speech and human rights are things that Steve Kerr are for, right? So, you know, I think to just try to sidestep that choice, it does to me feel a little unprincipled. You know what I mean? And I think you can crush, I don't know if crush is the right word, but I certainly think you can ask, it's a reasonable question to ask why, you know, why not choose in that? Why not stand up for what's right when you know what's right? You know, that's what Daryl Morey was doing, innocently, I think, at the time, not understanding the wave right. that it would cause. And then that's the situation that we're in, you know?
Yeah. For what it's worth, you know, there are still people who believe Morey will be fired and ultimately blackballed from the league for this. And
I mean, I don't think that's the case, but I wouldn't rule it out. I definitely wouldn't rule it out.
And if that does happen, like, if it can happen to him, it could happen to pretty much anybody. Like, it would have to be LeBron. Because Daryl Morey is as good a GM as we have.
Yeah, and the Rockets are in great shape. And, you know, look, it's...
That being said, the Rockets just lost a ton of money. A ton.
A ton of money.
And if the NBA doesn't air in China, that's a ridiculous amount of money lost.
Yep.
So...
Yeah.
You know... I guess my question to you would be, if you don't like this, like, how would you have them handle this?
How would I have them handle this?
Differently than what has happened.
I'm not saying, first of all, I'm not saying that I don't like what's happened.
Okay.
That I would not say that's my my thesis. I just said I think it's interesting because you're watching an organization principles come up against its profiteering.
No, but I mean, and you're
what I actually think, at least of the way that it's sort of playing out, is that slowly but surely the principles are winning, which I ultimately find encouraging.
In what way? Just by the fact that Daryl Morey still has a job.
Daryl Morey still has a job. You know, Adam Silver's publicly cited for free speech after the initial mealy mouth statement. I'm sorry, I'm just using free speech to catch on. I apologize if it's an awful term.
I understand, but hold on.
Like, but and they're losing a ton of money, so it's kind of all happening. You know what I mean? So,
but I mean, the issue here is that, like, China is an authoritarian regime, right?
Yeah, and I think they're standing up to it, which I think is the right thing to do, even at great cost to them. Like, I sort of think that's how it's playing out.
But then isn't really the right thing to do to just, like, cease your business relationship with China?
Well, I mean, that's effectively what seems to be happening, isn't it? Like, I don't think they're going to wind up playing these games.
No, I don't know that they will either, but that's a short-term, like, will they air games in China?
It doesn't. Does it seem to you like if they don't kiss the ring that they're gonna air games in China? Like, that seems to be where we're headed.
Maybe you're right.
I could be wrong.
No, I mean, I think that's still up in the air. They have certainly threatened not to air games, but I just don't know how credible that threat is.
I don't think China's gonna cave. I don't. You know, like, I mean, I might be wrong.
I mean, I assume there's some benefit to them for airing these games in the past, as they have. You know, it's all on state-run TV. I don't really understand
right.
how it works, if I'm honest.
That's state, but I think you're off state-run TV the second you are attacked by the state. And I know that the company that controls NBA streaming in China is heavily financed by that government. So it's, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If they want something shut down, it gets shut down. You know, like, that's how it works there. So, You know, look, we may be getting into areas that are sort of beyond my expertise, but I actually am heartened with the way it's played out. So for me, it's not necessarily, you know, oh, I was looking for a certain outcome and I'm not getting that, so I'm mad. I just think it's an interesting situation. And, you know, it does, it's one of those things that really tests the idea, and you're seeing ESPN sort of struggle with it now, and some of these kind of internal memos and stuff leak of the whole, we're just sticking to sports thing, you know, like you can't really talk about this story in a stick to sports way. It's just too interwoven with, you know.
Well, like we were saying when we started this conversation, there's just no such thing, really.
Yep.
There's no such thing as sports unambiguously separated from the world.
Yep. Yep. And I you know, I think over time, I understand why ESPN is doing what they're doing in this regard. And I think it has been effective for them from a business standpoint, if not from a quality of programming standpoint. But
you know,
I think
though,
it's
but has it been successful as a business? Like, here's my thing, man. First of all, for some reason, anytime anyone complains about the concept of politics in their sports, it's always right-wing people complaining about liberal politics in their sports. Always. Exclusively. When right-wing politics intermingle with sports, liberal people complain about the politics. That's the difference.
Yeah, it's true.
That's just
right?
A fact.
We just complain about the person, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will Cain,
like, when
and Clay Travis.
John Rocker goes off, like, yes. It's not like we're like, we don't want to talk about this.
Right.
It's like, F you, John Rocker. You know?
0% of people who are angry at Clay Travis are angry because he is talking about political things. They're angry because he's saying...
Because he's a moron?
Yeah, because he's an idiot saying, like, awful stuff. That's the difference here. So, it's a false complaint in the first place. Because you're trying to reject the conversation because you don't like the opinion. And so,
yep.
To me, ESPN kowtowing to that has always been absurd. It's always looked bad. And the notion that it's been a business success is, to me, much like the notion that Roger Goodell has been a net positive for the business of the NFL. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's true.
Well, look, if you define success in your parent company being happy, which I think is a reasonable definition of success if you're Jimmy Pitaro, then I'd say it's been a success.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
I can't. It's hard to say.
No, no,
it's
no.
Hard to say it in their bottom line.
No. See, then what you're saying is then the company is successful. But attributing that to a policy that, as far as they know, could have lost them money is a logical fallacy.
I'm not attributing that in a positive. What I'm a policy. What I'm saying is that was a directive from Bob Iger, I'm not saying it's not on
no,
the
no,
record.
No.
You know what I mean? And they followed it, and
yes.
Right? So that's what they're going to do.
Right? No, I get that, but I'm looking at it from a more of a macro view. Like, whoever you want to pin it on, the decision to have an apolitical, allegedly apolitical ESPN, because again, it's not apolitical. It's just never allowed to be progressive.
Yeah, but like, isn't this sort of the opposite of the stance that you were taking in the NBA when you were talking about, look, there are certain third rail things that are guaranteed to make a sizable percentage of your audience disengage, right? So is it not within a company's who's trying to make money's right to try to avoid discussion of these things?
You're misunderstanding.
Isn't that the same position that you just took on the NBA, trying not to lose money in China?
I'm not talking about what's right. They're free to do whatever they want. I'm saying the NFL claims great success under Roger Goodell. I propose I postulate to you that with a better, smarter commissioner, they could have made even more money. Therefore, I don't believe Roger Goodell is a great success. You understand my point?
Okay.
The fact
I'm
that
not
you've
sure
been,
because I feel like these are really different topics. But
well,
okay.
No, they're because they don't. They're the only similarity is the fact that one condition existed while you were successful in as a company does not mean that condition led to your success. Roger Goodell managed to steer the NFL to great profits during his tenure. That doesn't mean he did a good job.
I think we just mean I just think we mean different definitions of success, because I think what I meant was, you know, the new president of ESPN had two directives: improve the relationship with the NFL and stay out of politics. And he's managed to do both of those things.
Correct. And
therefore,
I'm saying
his bosses are happy with him.
Yes.
Therefore, it's been a success for ESPN.
Well, but
you know what I mean?
Well, all you're really saying there is that a middle manager did a good job. And that's fine, but not particularly interesting to me. What I'm saying is the directives are ill-conceived.
Maybe.
That's what I'm
saying. And I don't have the information to tell you if they've actually made more money.
Well, nobody knows what that there's right. it's an issue of opportunity cost. Nobody knows what they might have made had they not capitulated to accusations of like over politicizing, which never happened. Yeah. It was fake.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think we're both in agreement on that. And I feel like once again the little question I brought up at the end of the show became about half the show. So
yeah,
must be
the
we're still the same, boys and girls. let's jump into homework real quick, because did we lay all that out? I don't think we did yet, right?
No, we did not do homework.
Okay, so the Breaking Bad movie's out this week. I feel like that's a good one for us.
Yes, sir.
It's called El Camino, by the way.
It's really the Jesse Pinkman movie, right?
It is. And, Alan Sepinwall recommended some really good Jesse-centric episodes to catch up on if you're looking for, like, a brush up. And that sounds like a tremendous idea, but I don't know exactly when the hell we'll have time to do it.
Yeah, who has time to, like, catch up on anything?
Right. Exactly. There's current things that I'm not caught
Seriously.
Up on.
Seriously.
So that's dropping Friday. Were we gonna do the Joker movie, or we're gonna?
Man, I'll try.
To do
it
Joker
sounds
movie?
Like you were headed to see it anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like it's happening for me.
I'm gonna do what I can, man. I really am.
And then,
ironically, I'm the one who's interested in it.
Yeah, you're way more interested in it than I am.
You want to come watch the baby? You want to come hang with my wife and watch the baby while I go to the movies, or you could babysit?
Yeah,
and we'll both go.
Maybe. Look, I got the real life Joker in town. I know that is a picture on one.
Oof. Worst makeup job, frankly.
Let me tell you, he's got a big, beautiful makeup job. Now I'm doing the Jon Stewart just Trump. What else do we have? What was the other thing?
Man, this is why you're supposed to write it down.
Sorry. You know, I've had a hard day.
I don't know why I keep falling for the banana and the tailpipe on this.
Well, in fairness, usually I'm, again, sitting at a computer and not in my living room. I didn't write it down. I don't have it.
We just go through this, like, long conversation where something about the tenor of your voice makes me think you're writing stuff down.
And I'm not. I'm almost never. Almost never.
Pretty much never.
Yeah, all right. So we'll update you later.
I'm trying to look it up.
Do homework, guys.
You rejected
was
Treadstone.
Was it a Netflix show? Yeah, I did reject Treadstone. And Mr. Robot, that's what it was going to be, right?
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's something.
Okay. This concludes this episode of Old Men Remember Stuff.
or Fail to.
Or Fail to. And we'll be back next week with more of that.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.